Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, the podcast from your friends at Telecompetitor. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. I'm on vacation yet again this week, so rather than the news roundup, we're bringing you the second half of my interview with Heather Hampton Nodal. Heather is a farmer who uses digital agriculture and AI regularly, and she also has extensive experience working on an FCC task force addressing broadband and connectivity needs. Today, I'm bringing you the second half of an interview with Heather from mid-May, in which we talk about digital agriculture and AI, and Heather's advice for rural broadband providers. Let's get into it. First of all, can you just talk about the importance of broadband for digital agriculture?
Oh my goodness. I like to broaden the term from broadband to connectivity, because what we see, our ability to manage data is so critical to what we can do at the farm level and also throughout the chain itself. So food processing, manufacturing, transportation, safety, getting it to people, keeping it in good condition, right? And all the inputs we need to get upriver or cross country or flown in, however they get here, it's all interconnected. And ultimately, it comes down to data and energy. Right? So the importance of broadband, though, I expand it to connectivity because for us in our farm, we are so reliant on what we can hold in the palm of our hand. And so I'm able to pull up our farm, and I can tell you right now that I've got a planter going, I have a sprayer going, I have tillage going in completely different locations spread out across miles. I have truck drivers hauling down to the Mississippi River, again, you know, another 90 miles, 86 miles away, all at the same time. And I can tell you what their fuel usage is and so on and so forth. But where we need to go in the future is to be able to take our planting data. And then we have three drones right now on our farm. My third son has a seeding and spraying business with drones that he started when he was 16. He'll be 19 next week. So broadband is absolutely fundamental, and data and connectivity to our phones. So we've got cellular in addition to satellite, in addition to fiber backbone. I will tell you, I myself am not technology neutral. I believe that if we, as much fiber as we can get in the ground, it will serve us all ultimately in the future. With fiber, though, we position ourselves to do what we need to do with those drones, to do what we need to do with our planting, because where we need to get to is the ability to download software onto those drones, do our own scouting using AI. And all of this is LLM, all right? So it's language models. It's not, I've got to be typing code all the time or even entering data with my hands, because I need to say it through my phone. And I need to be able to instruct that drone, fly over and scout for X, Y, and Z in this wheat field, for example. Right now, our wheat is maturing. And I need to know, you know, at what state, what fixed growth stage are we? And do you see any signs of fusarium, like head blight, head scab? Mm-hmm. Already, because if I can spot spray that, I'm going to do it. Or if I need to go heavier in those areas, and I can then adjust and create a prescription on the fly, literally, no pun intended, to run that drone over those crops, that's where I need to be. But that power to compute that level of information. So if I've got since it's you and I on the call right now,
sure.
Our farm, we have 115 acres of wheat right across the road from our house, our farm headquarters. So even a year ago, I could contract with a company to scout that, but then I have to ship off like a manual hard drive, because there's no way I'd be able to upload that amount of data. Mm-hmm. There's no way. I couldn't maintain the connection with our fixed wireless system. I couldn't do it. So I'd literally have to kind of overnight it to the company's either regional or wherever their headquarters is. Then they look at the scouting information. Then they put together a prescription. Then they send it back to me. In agriculture, when you're dealing with something like a fungus or even armyworms, I know of an example of an alfalfa field. On day one, it was noticed that there were some armyworms. By day two, 60% of that field had been destroyed essentially by armyworms. So it's not feasible to say we're going to ship off our data and wait for it to come back, we need that ability to do that compute here at the field's edge or in the field itself. And these machines can only handle so much onboard compute. We have a ground rig sprayer that we use as well. And essentially the memory in the cab is full because we had so many issues with satellite communications and directing the operations of that we just started keeping everything in the cab. I don't know if that answers your question, but I gave a couple examples where broadband and the ability to manage data and make decisions is going to be absolutely critical. It is critical to us now, but I think it's going to be even more so going forward. Another example of where we need to be is to take these beautiful maps that are created in our operations center with our current farm programs and the equipment we run. But what I really need to get to, and AI is making this possible, but we don't yet have it installed, so to speak, in place on our farm, is I want to be able to take my yield map at the end of the season and layer it with the planting map so I can see where we changed hybrids like midfield. And now show me what the response was for each hybrid given the same treatment of fungicide across for corn, for example. And I want to know my response rate, you know, in that field on those soils. And in addition to that, I want to layer up my soil results because we're doing yearly soil sampling. I want to stack that up over time and see how what we've added as fertilizer, like where the real payoff is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I mean, it's at such a finite level compared to where we've been. I don't know. I just remain committed to the idea that better connectivity, which includes broadband, will allow us to be better managers, to make better food, better fuel, better decisions.
Yeah.
At the farm level.
Yeah. I'm curious if you've talked with other people who make their living farming and if you feel like in general, everybody else is equally as sort of excited about the idea of AI, or are you seeing any hesitancy, anything like that?
Yeah, I would say that I think my experiences and opportunities have led me to interact with peers who see it and get it, you know, even better than I do. But I feel blessed to be able to be part of those conversations. Like I'm working with a friend now on a farmer-owned data cooperative initiative and what that could do to empower farmers in so many ways. But to answer the question, do I think in general, no, I don't see that same willingness to embrace that. And part of it, I think, is because I mentioned I farm with my three sons. And they are between the ages almost 19. One just turned 21. The other one's 23. So they're constantly, they're actually very up on current events and news through whatever their social feeds are and so on. But to try to get them to adopt a new behavior, as we're trying to adopt an AI assistant for our entire farm that is specific to our farm. It's not just something off the shelf that you can get through your search engine. That adoption process is going to take us, it's going to take time because it will take some behavioral change.
Yeah.
And right now we have to go through WhatsApp. We can't just text to it, but we're working with software engineers to actually develop this. Okay. But to get them, even though they're young and young guns, but they are so busy, like most farmers, say all farmers, we've got so much coming at us every day and we have such tight windows. What the weather will essentially allow us to do or forces us to do if we see it coming and we've got to get ahead of it, even yep. Ranching, whatever aspect you're in, that it's really hard to add one more thing, a new skill set to your plate. And I think what I think ultimately one of the hardest things about AI will be is training people to communicate, because you have to be able to ask questions, not just make assumptions, not just speak in jargon or lingo, but really think about what kind of outcome am I actually asking for here?
Yeah.
And I think that will be a reset that some people will latch onto really easily. And others are just going to be like, no, I may as well talk to a wall. The short answer is no, I'm not seeing a rapid uptick in it, you know, unless it's something that could be pulled off the shelf. I think they've got, I want to say 70 different AI type programs out on the market. And there is a group led through the University of Illinois Center for Digital Agriculture. And so farmers can go find, if I really want to know about agriculture, what are the best AI tools that I should look at? You know, because you probably don't want to go to Claude or Grok or even ChatGPT, even though they perform pretty well. But there are some other tools that are really geared for farmers, like CropWizard, for example, where you know you've got peer-reviewed research. It's not just some agenda paper that a group that really doesn't have your interest in mind put out on the internet somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot. There's a lot there.
Yeah. So finding those AI tools that are specifically built for the purpose that you have in mind makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Last question for you. How can broadband providers best partner with farmers? And what would you, if you were speaking to, you know, a bunch of broadband providers, what would you say about sort of what you need or what you need them to understand or anything like that?
I would encourage them to be somewhat systematic or methodical about how they think about this. So one would be, if you don't already know some farmers in your area, try to get to know them. And one way to do that might be through the local equipment dealerships and kind of ask who's using precision agriculture, for example, because those are probably going to be the farmers that are more interested in how can I get more value out of this data? Because that equipment is not cheap. And how do I learn more than just getting a nice yield map that is going to show me where I should put some drainage tile, which has been, that's huge in itself. That's a huge payoff. So maybe start there. Maybe start with, I would also encourage, especially those that might be cooperatives or have a bigger footprint, talk to the statewide or regional agriculture organizations. So in our state, for example, Illinois Corn Growers, Illinois Soybean Association, the beef producers, the pork producers, Farm Bureau, maybe Farmers Union in some of the plain states is a stronger position. You know, just depends on who is it, cotton growers.
Yep.
And talk to those associations. Oh, yeah, and the specialty crops, my gosh, that's its own. That's amazing. There's amazing stuff going on there. So I'd look at that. There are other resources too. So some of the providers I mentioned at the dealer level, like local dealerships, because this, a lot of times, you know, person to person gets more done more quickly than trying to start through some website. At least in my experience, it does.
Yes, for sure.
But I would say also do some quick searches to look at leaders in the ag technology space. And there may be some up and coming companies like Eco Robotics, which is a Swiss company, but they're using another version of a See and Spray technology. A lot of that may be onboard compute, but you know, they're looking ahead as well. How can they cover more acres? Right now they're in kind of the specialty, the food crops that go straight to your plate, but they want to get into row crops. And maybe look at it in terms of, I would say, have maybe an advisory group. So don't start with just one, but don't stop with one.
Yeah.
Have a few people, get them together, do a little convening and say, you know, what would work for you? And put some what ifs in front of them, because some farmers may not have thought of it yet. Some are waiting for everybody to catch up, but that's the small minority. And to be able to find one in everybody's territory would be amazing. If you meet them, I'd love to see that list, because I'd like to start a group with those people. But in general, yeah, I think talking, reaching out, seeking advice, posing some what ifs, trying to kind of stay connected, looking for opportunities in the ag space. Where there might be key news releases, like there's Agritechnica in Europe, there are the Farm Progress shows, there's the Commodity Classic, where when you find out what these key events are, you're going to see a lot of product announcements and rollouts come around that, and that can kind of tip you off to what some of the trends either are or will be within the next few years.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you again to Heather Hampton Nodal for joining us for these two episodes of the Broadband Exchange. We'll be back to our normal news roundup next week. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange, and we will see you then.